From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message called Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Yonder in the better world, the inhabitants are independent of all creature comforts. They have no need of raiment. Their white robes never wear out, neither shall they ever be defiled. They need no medicine to heal diseases. For the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. They need no sleep to recruit their frames. They rest not day nor night, but unweariedly praise Him in His temple. They need no social relationship to minister comfort, and whatever happiness they may derive from association with their fellows is not essential to their bliss, for their Lord's society is enough for their largest desires. They need no teachers there. They doubtless commune with one another concerning the things of God, but they do not require this by way of instruction. They shall all be taught of the Lord. Ours are the alms at the king's gate, but they feast at the table itself. Here we lean upon the friendly arm, but there they lean upon their beloved and upon him alone. Here we must have the help of our companions, but there they find all they want in Christ Jesus. Here we look to the meat which perisheth, and to the raiment which decays before the moth. But there they find everything in God. We use the bucket to fetch us water from the well. But there they drink from the fountainhead, and put their lips down to the living water. Here the angels bring us blessings, but we shall want no messengers from heaven then. They shall need no Gabriels there to bring their love notes from God. For there they shall see Him face to face. Oh, what a blessed time shall that be, when we shall have mounted above every second cause, and shall rest upon the bare arm of God. What a glorious hour when God and not His creatures, the Lord and not His works, shall be our daily joy. Our souls shall then have attained the perfection of bliss.
Oh, Jesus, save us.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In a message entitled, "Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises," Dr. Cairns reminds believers of God's call to personal holiness of life, a subject which receives all too little emphasis in this day. Indeed, the Bible makes it clear that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and in anticipation of the moving and blessing of God. It still is. The first thing Dr. Cairn stresses about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. Now to bring the opening portion of this message, Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises. Here is Dr. Cairns.
We turn this morning to one verse that we were reading last week, so I'm selecting just the one verse out of the chapter. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." It's impossible to think about God in any biblical way without thinking about holiness. His name is holy. It's impossible to make any serious approach to God or to look for any demonstration of the goodness, greatness, and power of God without considering that He is jealous for His holy name and He demands true holiness from His people. He says in Isaiah 57 and 17, or 15, I am the high and holy one, or lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Going on, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Again and again in Scripture, the Lord warns against profaning His holy name. And He summarizes the whole teaching in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, where with the utmost bluntness He makes the statement, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. He may be Jew or Gentile. He may be black or white. He may be rich or poor. He may have the name of one denomination or another. He may have many supposed spiritual experiences. He may have great pretensions and professions. But the emphatic statement of God in His Word is, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. In many ways, that is the message of the text I have taken this morning. Without holiness no man shall see the Lord, in the sense of being eternally with Him in the glory of His presence. If your religion, if your profession has not made you genuinely holy, if God has not done a work that starts on the inside, and while yet imperfect in your experience, is nonetheless real, if God has not made you genuinely holy, then you will never see the Lord in the glory of His presence. And of course, you will not see the Lord in the intimacy of personal communion. Without holiness, there is no vision of the Lord in communion. Without holiness, there is no fellowship with the Lord in the Scripture or in prayer. Without holiness, the throne of God and of grace is fast closed against our souls. And as Joshua mainly means to impress upon all who read this verse, Joshua 3 verse 5, without holiness no man shall see the Lord in the demonstration of His power and blessing. As I say, this is what Joshua had in mind as he spoke these words to the people of Israel. The children of Israel were on the borders of Canaan. The next day the Lord was going to do great things for them. He was going to lead them across the Jordan and into the promised land. As a nation, they had waited many, many years for this day. And that particular generation had waited some 40 years for this glorious and long anticipated occasion. They could not afford to miss the blessing that the Lord held out to them that day. And therefore Joshua said to them on the eve of that great occasion, he said, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, as God's people, you should sanctify yourselves in preparation for and in anticipation of the Lord's powerful working among you. I want you to get that, for that's the synopsis of the whole text. Sanctify yourselves as God's people in preparation for and in anticipation of the Lord's powerful working among you. You see, holiness is always a necessary preparation for the blessing of God, for the moving of God among His people. A holy people will always be a blessed people. And you can always be sure that people who are genuinely blessed, among whom the Lord is doing great wonders, those people are a holy people. So I want us to take the words of Joshua. I want us to think of them very, very simply. When he says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I want us to take the main thought of his teaching here, as he calls the people of God to sanctify themselves. Holiness expresses the faith of God's people in His promises of grace. Holiness expresses, and it is the only true expression, of the faith of God's people in the promises of grace. Now, the very first thing that sits on the surface of the text is that the Lord gives this command to those who are His people. They are His redeemed. I need to make that clear right at the beginning. You see, this is not a prescription for sinners to gain salvation. This is not a command that tells people how they can work their way to heaven. These people were already redeemed out of Israel. They were already covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were already in covenant relationship with God. Sinners do not need to make themselves holy before they can come to Christ. It is true that in the very act of coming, they turn their back on sin. There's a real separation from the old life, and there is a real act of repentance. That's true. But it is heresy to tell men that they must cleanse themselves in order to be prepared to come to Christ. That's heresy. The entire invitation of the gospel is that sinners should come to Christ in order to be cleansed, in order to be made whole. You don't need to make yourself holy, to make yourself acceptable to God in order to come to Christ. This is the genius, the glory, and the beauty of the gospel. If the gospel were in the terms that I have just mentioned, if the gospel were to sinners that you should make yourself fit to come to God through Christ, then which of us could ever come? There's not a sinner who has ever lived who would ever be saved. There would be no mercy in that. And yet, you know, that essentially is what passes for the gospel in the churches of Christendom today. Professed Christianity has become one massive exercise in self-justification, in the efforts of men to make themselves acceptable to God. The whole idea is, if I do enough, if I pay enough, if I go to church enough, if I am doing my best toward others enough, if I am kind enough, then surely, God will be kindly disposed to me. Surely then, God will receive me. That's not a gospel. That's a recipe for damnation. There's nothing surer to condemn a soul to the midnight darkness of a lost eternity than that professed gospel. That's the devil's gospel. It is a perversion of truth to such an extent that it condemns everyone who embraces it. to the lake of fire forever. The gospel is the gospel of free grace. It's addressed to sinners who know they're sinners. It's addressed to sinners who have no hope of being anything else but sinners in and of themselves. It is addressed to sinners who are beyond the help of sacraments, beyond the help of church, beyond the help of self-effort. Sinners tottering on the edge of hell. The gospel is addressed to them. And it points to one who put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, who is received not by works but by faith, and who fully, finally, and eternally cleanses, justifies, accepts, and saves those who trust in him. Now this needs to be understood. Our text is addressed to those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. While it is true that sinners do not need to sanctify themselves in order to come to Christ for salvation, it is equally true that those who are saved and are redeemed must sanctify themselves to draw near to their God in communion, or to expect to be used of him in service. You see, saved people must be holy people. Saved people can never be indifferent to sin. Saved people cannot tolerate that which they know drives away the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the blessing of the Lord. These people who are saved are heirs of the promises of grace. As saved people, God is saying, I have done wonders for you. I'm going to do wonders for you. Before you stretch his life in communion with Christ and eternity in the presence of your Savior, in joy unspeakable and full of glory, they are heirs of the promises of grace. But equally, the heirs of the promises of grace know that sin debars them from enjoying that promise. That's why before we go to heaven, or as we enter, we are perfectly purged forever from every experience of sin. Glorification is entire perfection, so that we may perfectly enjoy heaven. For sin would even mar the enjoyment of heaven. How much more here on earth? We ought to understand this. Sin bars our way to the enjoyment of the promised blessing that we should be having down here. Now, I emphasize, we're saved by grace. We're kept by power. We're justified freely. We'll be accepted in glory by the righteousness of Christ imputed. But on our way to heaven, our experience of God will be no greater than our holiness. Our joy in God will be no greater than our holiness. Our usefulness in service will be no greater than our holiness. Sin debars us from enjoying the promised blessing of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.